Last week, we learned Rav Nachman's answer to the question of what is the difference between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So let's review. Beit Shammai, we don't have this here in the current packet, but we're just reviewing. Beit Shammai holds that if a egg is laid on Yom Tov, you are allowed to eat it. Beit Hillel says you're not allowed to eat it. And the question was, is this an egg-laying chicken or a food chicken? A chicken that is meant to be shechted. Rav Nachman said that it is certainly an egg-laying chicken. That's what it is. And Beit Shammai just doesn't hold of muktzah.
So okay or not okay to eat from an egg-laying chicken?
Not okay. So is okay for Beit Shammai and not okay for Beit Hillel.
But Rabbi Nachman says that... All right, wait a minute.
In other words, the question on the table is the nolad, is the newly born egg from a shechet chicken or from a laying chicken?
And the assumption there is that if it's from a chicken that it's meant to be eaten, then it's not nolad because there was chicken-based food product and now there's more chicken-based food product. Meaning if the egg is laid from a food chicken...
So you see the egg and the chicken is the same thing.
That's what Rav Nachman says.
Yeah.
Not everybody's going to agree, but Rav Nachman says that the chicken and the egg... If in a shechting chicken,
I love it.
In a shechting chicken, the chicken and egg are one entity, and the egg is just like cutting off a piece of the chicken, and that should be permitted. That's not nolad.
Okay.
It's chicken food which came out of
a
chicken food. But if it's an egg laying chicken, then it was never food in the first place, and therefore that's nolad. And so why does Beit Shammai permit it? Because Beit Shammai just permits nolad. He doesn't hold of it.
In all cases.
Beit Shammai has a more lenient view of muktzah in general, according to Rav Nachman. And then we get into some trouble, because the Gemara points out that Beit Shammai does hold of nolad. So what's the deal? Beit Shammai does hold of nolad. So how could it be that... Or Beit Shammai does hold of muktzah, rather. Not nolad.
Wait a minute. Beit Shammai
does hold of muktzah. He has a concept of muktzah. And so, we ended up with a distinction that muktzah is more machmir on Yom Tov than it is on Shabbat.
Right.
Okay? And the reason is that Yom Tov, which has other leniencies, or if you remember the reasons for muktzah, from the first class, the Rambam gave us reasons for muktzah, among them was to make Shabbos or Yom Tov feel different. Mm-hmm. And so, on Yom Tov, which has more permission, you have more permission to do things, you're allowed to cook and carry. So, in the home, Yom Tov feels more like a weekday than Shabbos does. So the rabbis had to make more stringent gzeirot to ensure that it feels different. On Shabbos, where you're not allowed to cook, you already have enough distinctions. By the way, this makes even more sense, I think, in Europe, earlier generations of rabbis, there were many rabbis that permitted turning on the lights on Yom Tov. Not on Shabbos, but on Yom Tov.
Electric lights.
Yeah, we do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you don't want to say that on the recording.
On Yom Tov.
My grandfather said you're allowed to turn on the lights.
You know what? The Aruch HaShulchan says you're allowed to turn on lights, not allowed to turn them off. And there's one rabbi, very few rabbis still hold of this, but there's one rabbi that does. He's the chief rabbi, I believe, of the city of Netanya, and he is the grandfather. He's Sephardic. Rabbi Shlush.
Oh, yes.
Who was the one?
You're related to Rabbi Shlush?
Yes, but through marriage.
So Rabbi Gideon Shlush, who's the rabbi of Adareth El on 29th Street,
right.
He's the grandson of the chief rabbi of Netanya.
But you said the Aruch HaShulchan said it?
I wish it could be
Sephardim. Most Sephardim don't hold of this, by the way. This is just one particular... Rav Avadia Yosef did not say that. You know, most Sephardim paskin like Rav Avadia Yosef.
But if the Shulchan Aruch says it, what's...
Shulchan Aruch doesn't say it. The Aruch HaShulchan says it. Shulchan Aruch didn't have electricity, didn't have, you know, electric light bulbs. The Aruch HaShulchan, Rabbi Yechiel Michal Epstein in Russia. In the early 20th century.
In Jerusalem.
The reason why it was done away with is because we don't really believe. Here's the deal. You either think that electricity is fire, or you don't. If you think electricity is fire, let me just say something. If you think electricity is fire, then it's do-re-mi-fa. Okay? And then maybe, because there's electric currents running through, you're allowed to turn on the lights, and you're allowed to, you know, on Yom Tov, but not on Shabbat, because you're transferring this electric current, which is a fire, which is a kind of flame. But if you think that, then you can't take the elevator on Shabbos, even if the doorman presses it for you. Because the only reason why you're allowed to have the doorman press the elevator button for you is because it's what's called a shvus to shvus b'mako mitzvah. You're allowed to have a non-Jew do a derabanan for you. You're allowed to do a derabanan of a derabanan in order to fulfill a mitzvah on Shabbat. Shvus to shvus b'mako mitzvah. That's a general concept in Hilchos Shabbos. So for example, there is a mitzvah to eat your Shabbos meal. There's a mitzvah to have Oneg Shabbos also, by the way. This is what my Rosh Hashiva explained to me, how why you're allowed to ask the doorman to press the elevator button for you. Because going home on Shabbos is a mitzvah. You're fulfilling a mitzvah, whether it's to sleep on Shabbos, which is Oneg Shabbos, whether it's to go eat your meal, also a mitzvah. If it's to go downstairs, then it's to go to shul, or to go take your walk on Shabbos, which is also Oneg Shabbos. Whatever it is, they're pretty broad. I mean, Oneg Shabbos is a fairly broad mitzvah category. Presumably, we assume that electricity is not fire, and that it's derabanan. The rabbis prohibited us to use electricity for whatever reason. We assume electricity is a derabanan. Asking a non-Jew to do a malacha for you, that's also a derabanan. Right? Midoraita, you can have the non-Jew do everything for you. Cook, this, that. Midoraita. But derabanan, asking a non-Jew, you're not allowed to do things. But now, you have a double-level derabanan. Because you're asking a non-Jew, which is derabanan, to do a derabanan for you, pressing the elevator button. And you're doing it for the purpose of a mitzvah. That's permitted. Shvus to shvus b'mako mitzvah.
Like a klisheni.
Exactly. Okay, that's the technical reason. I'm sorry?
Double negative.
Yeah.
But that klisheni, sorry, that's the technical reason why that's permitted. And if you hold that way, you can't turn the lights on Yom Tov, because the lights on Yom Tov is still derabanan. It's not, if it's fire, then it's do-re-mi-fa, and you can't ask the doorman to do it. But if it's derabanan, then it's not fire, and therefore it has nothing to do with transferring flames on Yom Tov.
That's okay. I'm on the third floor. I don't need the.
You don't take the elevator anyway. Okay, that's a different story. That's a different story. We always took the stairs, but now we have the stroller. So we live on the second floor, so it doesn't make sense for us to take the elevator. But we have a stroller now. The stroller, we have to take the elevator. Okay. Okay. So the Rishonim have a question about this issue in Masechet Beitza. Our point in Beitza, once again, that Rav Nachman made, was that Yom Tov were more stringent about Muktzah than we are on Shabbos. And I think people pointed this out before we explained it last time. Many of us had a question about it. How could it be more stringent on Yom Tov than on Shabbos? Yom Tov has fewer rules than Shabbos. So how could that be? So indeed, the Rishonim ask this question on page 2. It's a machloket between the Baal HaMa'or and the Me'iri on the one hand and the Ramban on the other hand. So look at the question first, page 2. At the top, you see the Baal HaMa'or. The Baal HaMa'or is Rabbi Zerachya HaLevi, who lived in Provence in the 13th century. HaMa'or HaKatan, that's what it says on top. HaMa'or HaKatan. Baal HaMa'or.
The first arrow,
Mihu, it says Mihu. Yeah, sorry, the top arrow. Yeah.
So Provence when?
13th century. Thank you. Rabbi Zerachya HaLevi. So I'll tell you sort of the order of events. The Baal HaMa'or lived in Provence, and he wrote a commentary on the Gemara in which he often disagreed with the Rif, Rabbi Yitzchak Alfasi. That's why his commentary is printed on the pages of the Rif in the back of the Gemara. This is from the back of the Gemara where the Rif is printed. Rabbi Yitzchak Alfasi, in the 11th century, compiled a Gemara.
Cliff note kind of thing.
Yeah, where he omitted the debates in the Gemara. And he omitted all of the Gemaras that were not relevant to Halacha. And he only printed what he believed was the proper psak, and only for those issues that were relevant. So, for example, there's no riff about the korbanot or anything like that.
Because there's no discussion. It is what it is.
No, because
no,
the
we don't
have korbanot. It's not relevant to us.
Sorry.
Yeah, not relevant to us. So the Baal HaMor often had questions and disagreements with the Rif, and so that's what he wrote his comment. So many times his commentary disagrees with the Rif. The Ramban, ever the traditionalist, Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman, Nachmanides lived in Spain. In Spain, they always followed the Rif. The Rif was the big posek in Spain.
11th century?
The Ramban is 13.
No, the Rif, I'm sorry.
The Rif, 11th century. The Ramban is a contemporary, a little bit after the Rambam, so 12th century.
Mm-hmm.
12th century. So the Baal HaMor is also 12th century, I'm sorry, because the Ramban wrote after the Baal HaMor. I made a mistake. 12th century, also the Baal HaMor. And the Ramban defends the Rif against the Baal HaMor's questions. The name of the Ramban's commentary is Milchemet Hashem, the War of God. The War of God. And that's where he defends the Rif against the Baal HaMor, often using biting language against the chutzpadik Baal HaMor, who had the courage, the chutzpah, to question the Rif's rulings. You'll see. We'll see it here. Okay, so let's read the Baal HaMor first. Mihu! We can have a kashya, a difficulty with this Gemara. Mehahi de amar Rava beperek Yom Tov, from the fact that, of what Rava said later on Daf Yud Chet in Masechet Beitza. He says, Miika midi de beshabes sharei uveyom kippurim aser. Could there be anything that is permitted on Shabbos and is prohibited on Yom Kippur? Hachanami, where the arrow is on the right-hand side.
Oh, I'm on the wrong
one. Hachanami, mi'ika midi de b'Shabbos sharei, uve Yom Tov aser. So Rava says before, generally speaking, Yom Kippur is called Shabbat Shabbaton. So all of the rules of Shabbat apply to Yom Kippur. So even though Yom Kippur is not Shabbat, you're still not allowed to cook, you're not allowed to carry. There's nothing to cook on Yom Kippur anyway. But it has the status of Shabbat. So Rava says later on, could it be that something is permitted on Shabbat but usur on Yom Kippur? Generally speaking, those rules are the same. So the Baal HaMor extends that and says, "Miika midi de b'Shabbos sharei v'Yom Tov aser." Could there be anything that is permitted on Shabbat but is aser on Yom Tov? How could it be? Yom Tov has easier rules than Shabbos, has fewer rules than Shabbos. How could it be that something is permitted on Shabbat but aser on Yom Tov? V'heichi kaima la an hilchas b'Shabbos k'Rabbi Shimon v'Yom Tov k'Rabbi Yehuda. And how can we say that on Shabbos the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon, who is more lenient about muktzah, and on Yom Tov it follows Rabbi Yehuda, who is more stringent about muktzah? How could this be? Now he answers. V'hareini, we're in the next paragraph, where it's bolded. V'hareini moser lacha klal gadol b'torat ha-muktzah. I'm going to tell you a great general principle in the rules of muktzah. Kedei shetistalek hakushya hazo me'alecha, so that you should not have this kasha, this question. Kol muktza sheba al davar shehana'ato al yedei melacha o ma'aseh mutar b'yom tov v'asur b'shabbat. Anything that's muktza, that is muktza because if you use it, you might benefit from a malacha, meaning that its benefit is a malacha. So, for example, a cell phone, if you assume that, you know, the electricity, normally, the benefit you get from a cell phone is that of malacha. It's not as a paperweight. If you use a cell phone as a paperweight, that's not malacha. But if you, you know, the regular use of a cell phone is malacha. O ma'aseh mutar b'yom tov asur b'shabbat, or something that is permitted on Yom Tov but prohibited on Shabbat, like cooking. Kegon bikua eitzim min hakorot, like using beam wood as firewood, which is what we discussed last week. Kegon in mesikin b'shivrei kelim, and not to use broken vessels. Kegon shchitat hamidbariot, and shechting certain kinds of bulls or cows. Uchagon eiz lechalba, or milking a goat. The rachel agizasa, or a sheep for its wool. Utarnagoles lebeitzasa, or an egg, a chicken for its egg.
Stuck that one in.
Yeah. Uvetori deradia, or a bull to plow. Zohi muktza. She'asur b'yom tov k'Rebbe Yehuda. That is muktza, which is prohibited on Yom Tov like Rebbe Yehuda. Those things. Ume'elav une'esar b'Shabbos mishom melacha de'itpe. But on Shabbos it's prohibited because of melacha. And then he goes on to list all those things. Let me explain the Baal HaMa'or. The Baal HaMa'or said, first he asks, how could there be anything that is permitted on Shabbat but prohibited on Yom Tov? In general, Yom Tov should have fewer rules than Shabbat. So he says, it does have fewer rules than Shabbat. The only things that are muktzah on Yom Tov but not muktzah on Shabbat are things that are prohibited anyway on Shabbat because of malacha. So for example, one of the examples in the Gemara was using beams as firewood. We said normally you'd be allowed to light a fire on Yom Tov, but we said you shouldn't use the beams because they were beams before Yom Tov, and now you're going to cut them up and they're going to be nolad. So now they're going to be firewood. Well, guess what? On Shabbat, you wouldn't be allowed to use them as firewood anyway. You know why? Because it's fire on Shabbat. You're not allowed. It's usur because of malacha on Shabbat. It's a pretty brilliant answer. He says all of the examples that the Gemara gives are ones where on Shabbat it would have been usur anyway, just not because of muktzah.
But is firewood still considered muktzah on Shabbat?
Yeah. Well, we consider it muktzah on Shabbat, yeah. The question here would have been, could you chop up the firewood to make it nola? Yeah. Firewood is muktzah on Shabbat.
It's but, the chopping of it.
It's the no lot aspect of it. It's the fact that you're turning a beam into firewood.
Right. It was a beam. Firewood piled in your house, and you're in some Eastern European place, and where someone else could take that wood and put it in the fire for you.
Even if you're in New Jersey and you have a fireplace, you can take the firewood, and
it's already chopped.
Yeah, on Yom Tov you can use fire. Sure, you can light a fire on Yom Tov. But that's the Baal HaMa'or's answer. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says, no. There is a good reason why they were more stringent on Yom Tov than on Shabbat. So take a look. First, let's just read his... the very beginning, the Ramban says, Amar HaKotev. HaKotev is the Ramban. Lo nachon velo barur velo ra'ui lismoch alav. It's not true. And it's not clear,
It's never true, and don't even talk about it.
That's right, and we cannot depend
so
on him.
So cute.
Fehu mishtaber b'shivrei kelim atzman. And now, this is good language. So, One of the examples was using broken vessels as fire, as you know, for cooking or for fire or whatever it is. So now he says he's broken along with the vessels.
Whoa!
That's what. V'hu mishtaber, v'hu mishtaber, b'shivrei kelim atzman. He's broken with the broken vessels,
you know,
themselves.
Really, you know, can't you just argue with the argument and not an ad hominem attack here?
Shemutar lehishtamesh ben b'shabbat, because you're allowed to use those broken vessels on Shabbos for whatever you want. Because guess what? On Shabbos, they're not muktzah. So we're going to skip all of the evidence that he has, because it's very technical. Just to the end over here. V'koli kar.
Where?
The end, the left-hand side at the bottom. I put another arrow.
Oh, that's the... Oh, man, he goes on arrow.
Yeah. V'koli kar lo dibru chachamim b'muktzah. You have to, in order to understand why muktzah can be more stringent on Yom Tov than it is on Shabbat, you have to understand why the rabbis made muktzah aser. Ela kedei sheyivror veyazmin leatzmo sorchav me'erev Yom Tov. The reason for muktzah on Yom Tov is that people should prepare everything from before Yom Tov. You shouldn't make everything on Yom Tov. V'lo yitztarech lemachar lechazer v'litroach b'seuda. And tomorrow, namely on Yom Tov itself, you won't have to, you know, work so hard to make your seuda. Shema yavola seud b'malacha, because maybe you might come to do a malacha. Oh, next page. Tiltul ha'asurin lo.
Okay.
On the right hand side of the Milchamet Hashem also.
Tiltul.
Ha'asurinlo.
Which means?
Carrying things that are prohibited. Things that are actually muktzah.
So it's the Geder argument.
Yeah. V'samchu l'mikra v'echinu. V'ari Yom Tov ra'ui l'gzeirazo. V'ein Shabbat ra'ui l'kach. Yom Tov, it's appropriate to make that gzeiron, because you might actually come to do something prohibited on Yom Tov while you're cooking. Delo atu b'Shabbat lemeivad melachot ke'ochel nefesh, because on Shabbat you're not going to do any of the cooking melachas anyway. V'hainu ta'amei de Rav Nachman, and that's the reason of Rav Nachman. V'adavar baruru, and it's very clear. V'chayotze bazeh nahagu chachamim b'mekomot harbeh, and the rabbis did this in many places. V'gabe Shabbat v'yom tov nami yamru menichim ner al gabe dekel b'Shabbat v'ein menichim ner al gabe dekel b'yom tov. Mishum de'ati lish. Okay, I don't want to do all of these things. Put a candle on a tree. I'm not sure. I didn't. Let me see if we should do this. Then just the beginning of the next paragraph. The reasoning of the Bala Maor is completely mistaken. Because we could have permitted all of the muktzah on Yom Tov as well. So basically the Ramban goes back to our original reason, and he says the Bala Maor is mistaken.
He agrees with Rav Nachman.
Yeah, well, the Baal HaMaor says that he doesn't agree with Rav Nachman necessarily.
No, Ramban.
Ramban is explaining Rav Nachman against the Baal HaMaor.
Oh, uh-huh.
The Baal HaMaor also can't disagree with Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman's in the Gemara. He has to explain him, so he has to re-explain it. So the Baal HaMaor says that everything that was prohibited as muktzah on Yom Tov is also prohibited on Shabbat, just as malacha. But the Ramban says that's not true. Because the broken vessels, for example, you might be allowed to use them on Shabbat for something that you're allowed, you know, for something else. It's just not, he says it's just not true. What kind of malacha are you going to do with the broken vessel? There's no malacha. Okay. We are going to move on to the next reason of the Gemara, the next explanation of the Gemara.
Okay.
So we're done with Rav Nachman. Now Rabbah has an explanation.
Okay, so we're back to the first sheet
from today.
Sheet from
today. Oh, not today. From last week. No. Okay.
Or the sheet from last week.
This is the single sheet from last
same
week.
Thing.
That's for tomorrow.
Yeah, same thing. The first sheet on today's packet is the same as the single sheet from last week.
Right.
But we're on Daf Bet Amud Bet, the second side.
Got it.
And it's right in the middle.
Over Yom Tov?
No. Okay. Right in the middle of the Gemara, parallel to the Tosafot.
Ella Amar Rabba,
exactly.
Got it.
Parallel to the Tosafot, Ein Mevakim Eitzim. You see on the right-hand side, there's a Tosafot in the middle, Ein Mevakim Eitzim.
Yeah.
So right there, there's Ella Amar Rabba. Okay. Rabba disagrees. Ella Amar Rabba. So remember, what's the question that we're asking in the Gemara that Rav Nachman answered? What question are we asking?
Okay, so the question is, what kind? You mean from what kind of chicken?
That's
is
right.
It? Okay.
What kind of chicken is
what
it?
What kind of chicken?
Rav Nachman answered it was an egg-laying chicken. Rabba disagrees. Amar Rabba, le'olam b'tarnegola ta'omedet la'achila. No, it's the kind of chicken that is meant for eating. That's the chicken in the Mishnah. That Beit Shammai permits its egg, and Beit Hillel prohibits its egg. So why does Beit Hillel prohibit the egg, if it's the chicken that's meant to be eaten? Uve Yom Tov, Shechal Hiyot Achar HaShabbat Askinan. And we are dealing with a Yom Tov which follows Shabbat, Sunday, meaning it's Yom Tov that's on Sunday. Umishum Hachana. And it's prohibited because of preparation. As you know, you're not allowed to prepare from Shabbos to the next day, to Chol, or to Yom Tov.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're not allowed to prepare on Shabbos. So why is this egg not allowed? Because if the chicken laid the egg today on Sunday on Yom Tov, then presumably it prepared the egg yesterday on Shabbos. And you're not allowed to have something. Now, this is a unique thing. So this is called So this is Hachana Deraba. This is what's called in Halacha Hachana Deraba. Rabba's version of Hachana. The Rambam actually paskins like this, but we don't. The Hachana of Rabba, so in general, we're not allowed to prepare things on Shabbos for after Shabbos. You're not allowed to do that. According to Rabba, Rabba is even more stringent. If something was prepared on Shabbos, then it becomes prohibited after Shabbos. Nothing is permitted to be prepared on Shabbos. Whether you do it, or someone else does it, or the earth does it, or the chicken does it. Rabbah says that as long as something was prepared on Shabbos, and it makes sense if Shabbos is God's seventh day of rest, right? Rest from creation. It doesn't matter who created it. Shabbos is not just for you. It's for everybody. It's for God. So if something was done on Shabbat, if something was created on Shabbat, then it's not permitted even afterwards.
Are we just talking about food now or about anything else?
For Rabba, it's anything.
Anything, right.
Umishum hachana. Ukesavar Rabba. So now we'll read that inside. Ukesavar Rabba, Rabba held, he reasoned, Kol beitza de mesialda ha'idana, any egg which is laid today, now, ha'idana means now.
Ha'idana means now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mietmol gamrala. It was prepared yesterday.
So the chicken is doing the hachana.
What?
He knew a lot about
I guess so. I don't know.
So the chicken's doing the hachana.
That's right. That's what he held. That's what he believed.
It's not a vote. That's the natural course of life.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. He prepared a chicken. He made a chicken. He made an egg. She made an egg.
What about a bee?
Yeah,
that's
right.
More on Shabbos.
What?
Great
yeah.
questions. We're going to talk more about Hachana. I want to finish the Gemara. I want to finish the Gemara now. Oh, next week is next Monday is Memorial Day, so we're not going to meet next week.
Sorry, kiddo, you had a baby.
Oh, we only have one more class then.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad.
Did she labor? Did she labor? Oh, Shabbos produce a nola.
nolad. That's like daska.
So we're
labor on Shabbos to produce a nolad after Shabbos.
So we're going to finish this Gemara today, and then our last class, which I guess the next Monday is Memorial Day.
Yeah,
I forgot, so we're not going to be
here.
Obviously.
So our last class, we're going to have a bang up beitza. I don't know what.
Class after that.
We'll make
what?
We'll make an omelet.
That's right. We'll get the omelet station.
Did you
That's
say
right.
we have one more class after this coming?
This coming Monday, no class. One more after that.
One more.
June 6th.
Okay. That's it.
That's right. The week after that is Shavuos.
And the week after that, there's no more school.
And the week after that, there's no Ramaz. So, I mean, we'll see if people are here or not. I don't know.
No, you can't leave us hanging on Beitza until
no. But we're going to do.
Shana.
Yeah, we're going to do. So the next class is going to be all about this Hachana of Rabbah. What is Rabbah talking about? What about a baby that's born on Shabbos? What about that?
Oh,
or really, it's not a baby that's born on Shabbos.
It's
a baby that's conceived on Shabbos.
It's what?
Conceived.
Can, a baby that's conceived on Shabbos, it should be.
Yeah, but then wait a minute. But then how does it work with the Tarnagol? I don't understand this. The Tarnagol doesn't have to be fertilized to produce an egg. It's part of the natural.
That's what I just said.
It's like
but it prepared the egg. The chicken, somehow
you
inside the chicken.
Something that's disgusting, but I'm going to ask it.
Let's finish this Gemara about Rabbah first.
Oh, come on, it's just getting hot.
I know.
We'll keep you posted. We'll let you.
Well, the next class is going to be all about this issue.
Else
I'll just finish the Gemara, though.
This is so
Rabbah Latame. Rabbah follows his own. I always found Rabbah Latame.
What does that mean?
Rabbah Latame. Whenever it says a rabbi and then Latame,
right.
It means he is consistent. Latame means according to his reasoning. Rabbah here is according to his reasoning. For we have other examples where he follows the same reasoning.
Fine.
Rabbah is consistent. Whenever it says somebody is Latame, it means he's consistent.
Great.
Everybody should be Latame. Why do they specifically say
Rabbah? No. It always says it.
Everybody's should be
whenever we see a... But the Rabbah, basically here, this is kind of a strange rule. Why? Because of what you're saying. The chicken normally makes an egg. It's part of its normal, course of events. Rabbah prohibits it because it was prepared on Shabbos. So the Gemara wants to tell, Rabbah has this unique opinion. Okay. Everywhere, he's consistent with this unique opinion. Here's where he gets it from. The Amar Rabbah, because Rabbah says, "My dichsiv haya bayom hashishi ve'echinu et asher yaviu." Okay, let's read the whole pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'haya bayom hashishi ve'echinu et asher yaviu v'haya mishne al asher yilkot yom yom." That's the man. Okay, on Yom Shishi, they used to get what they used to bring.
Hachinu, hachana.
Yeah. So when did they used to prepare it?
Erev Shabbos.
On Yom Shishi.
Erev Shabbos.
Therefore, Rabbah says, Chol mechin l'Shabbos, v'chol mechin l'Yom Tov. Chol, a weekday, is permitted to prepare for Shabbat, and Chol can prepare for Yom Tov. V'ein Yom Tov mechin l'Shabbos, v'ein Shabbos mechina l'Yom Tov. But on Yom Tov, you may not prepare for Shabbos.
That's not true.
Only if you have an Eruv Tafshil, and that's a trick.
Yeah.
That's a trick.
But
this is talking about Ikar Adin.
Okay.
This is before Eruv Tafshilin.
Okay.
Eruv Tafshilin is a trick. We're not allowed to pray on Yom Tov for Shabbos. That's why you mean the Eruv Tafshilin. You already start. What is an Eruv Tafshilin? I already started preparing for Shabbos beforehand. That's what the Eruv Tafshilin
is. Continuing.
I'm continuing.
That's why it's an Eruv, like allowing us to carry.
Exactly.
Because we started here and we're going to end up on the west side. So we started cooking and we won't finish until Shabbos is over.
V'ein Shabbat mechina l'yom tov. Amar le Abaye. So Abaye does not agree with Rabbah.
Huh.
Ela me'ata. Yom tov ve'alma tishteri. So Abaye says, the Mishnah didn't say, Beitza shenolda be'yom tov she'achar Shabbat.
What does ve'alma mean?
Generally speaking. Right. Be'alma means generally speaking.
Okay.
So, Yom Tov, a general Yom Tov Be'alma, a regular Yom Tov, you should be allowed to have the egg.
Tishtare means allowed.
Permitted, yeah. Lahatir, tishtari.
The egg.
Shari.
Yeah, okay. Shari. The egg should be permitted. Why? Because Rabbah says the only reason why the egg on Yom Tov is prohibited is in a special kind of Yom Tov, a Yom Tov which follows Shabbat. because we assumed that the egg was prepared on Shabbat. So what about a Yom Tov on Wednesday? If the Yom Tov is on Wednesday, then the egg was prepared on Tuesday. So that kind of egg should be permitted. That kind of egg should be permitted. So what does he say? Gzeira mishum Yom Tov achar Shabbos. No. That's a gzeira, lest you come to use an egg on a Sunday, on a Yom Tov which follows Shabbos. Shabbos Dal Matishtri. So regular Shabbos should be permitted. Meaning if a chicken lays an egg on Shabbos, that should be permitted. Because it prepared the egg on Friday. And if the whole problem is the preparation, it's not the nolad, right? Rabbi says that has nothing to do with nolad. It has to do with preparation on Shabbos. So if an egg is laid on Shabbos, that should be permitted because it was prepared on Friday, which is totally fine. Gzeira mishum Shabbos achar Yom Tov. No. That's a gzeira because you might come to eat an egg that was laid on Shabbos, which follows a Yom Tov, which was on Friday. So we have three levels. Presumably, Rabbah believes that preparation is deoraita, right? One important point is that you're only allowed to make a gzeira on deoraita, right? Lo gazrin on gzeira le gzeira. You're not allowed to make a gzeira about a derabanan. The rabbis can't make a fence around their own rules. There's a limit, you know. They can make a fence around the biblical rules. They can't make a fence around their own rules. So Rabbah believes that an egg that is laid on Shabbos, which follows Yom Tov, that is biblically prohibited. That's deoraita, because Hachana, you saw, it's from the pasuk about man. It's a biblical. It's deoraita. Mi deoraita, you're not allowed to prepare, or you're not allowed to have prepared something on Shabbat for the next day. So if an egg is laid on Yom Tov, which is a Sunday, that egg was prepared on Shabbos, and that's deoraita prohibited. So now you have two other cases. What about a regular Yom Tov that's not following Shabbat? And what about a regular Shabbat, which is not following a Yom Tov? So the Gemara says, according to Rabbah, those would still be prohibited, but those would be derabanan. A gzeira, lest you come and eat the egg on Shabbos, which follows Yom Tov. Right? Should we write this out?
Wait, even if there's a day between? Yeah.
So, mi deoraita. Okay. So we have the deoraita. Mi deoraita, we have, you know, Sunday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Okay. If Yom Tov is on Sunday, then the egg is biblically prohibited. Yeah. Why? Because presumably the egg was prepared the day before on Shabbat. And if something was prepared on Shabbat, then it's biblically prohibited. Okay? So now, Abaye says to Rabbah says, this is the whole thing the Mishnah is talking about. Beit Sashen olda b'yom tov, Beit Shammai omrim te'achel, Beit Hillel omrim lo te'achel. That's the kind of Yom Tov that's talking about. One that follows Shabbos. So Abaye, rightfully so, says, but it doesn't say Beitza Shenolda B'Yom Tov She'achar Shabbat. It does not say an egg that was hatched, that was laid on Yom Tov, which follows Shabbat. It just says an egg that was laid on Yom Tov. So what about Yom Tov here? What if Yom Tov falls on Wednesday? Shouldn't then the egg be permitted? So he says it's prohibited derabanan. Rabbinically. Why? What's the derabanan? It's a gzeira. A gzeira is a fence around, you know, a gzeira is something the rabbis prohibit, lest you come to do something else, which is biblically prohibited. It's prohibited rabbinically here, lest you come to eat the egg on a year where Yom Tov follows Shabbat. Oh. On some years, Yom Tov follows Shabbat. On other years, it doesn't. So it's prohibited all the time, lest you get used to Yom Tov, And you say, oh, it's Sunday, it's not Shabbat. So what's the difference? What's the difference between Sunday and Wednesday? It's the same thing. So lest you come say that, the rabbi is prohibited here too. So now what about Shabbat? Shouldn't it be permitted on Shabbat? Because Shabbat is preceded by Friday. Shabbat is different from Yom Tov. We all know Shabbat is different from Yom Tov. So the rabbis could have told us. Such an egg is prohibited on Yom Tov, but permitted on Shabbat. So says Rabbah, no, it's still prohibited on Shabbat rabbinically, lest there be a Friday Yom Tov. There might be a Friday Yom Tov, and then it's also prohibited. Okay. That's the structure of the Gemara. One more question. Okay. Umi Gazrinan, you see where it says Umi Gazrinan? Is there really such a gzeira? Meaning, for the Wednesday case and for the Shabbos case. Is there really such a gzeira? Vehatanya. It says explicitly in a braita. And a braita, of course, beats both Rabbah and Abaye and any and Rava and anyone else who comes after the Mishnah. Hashochet et hatarnegolet. Umatzaba beitzim gemurot. Mutarot le'ochlan beyom tov. If you shech the chicken, and inside the chicken you find a completed egg, and you're allowed to shech on yom tov. So if you shech the chicken on yom tov, and inside there's an egg, you're allowed to eat the egg. Even though what? Maybe it was prepared before. That's the big question about Rabbah now. How could Rabbah say what he is saying if we know from a braita, an earlier source, that you're allowed to eat the egg that's inside the chicken if you find it inside? You are. The braita says that.
So the braita is before the Mishnah?
The braita is concurrent with the Mishnah.
Concurrent with the
Mishnah. Yeah, contemporaneous. But it's earlier than Rabbah.
Trump anything that
that's right. And the braita clearly says that if you shecht a chicken and you find an egg inside, you're allowed to eat the egg
on Yom Tov.
On Yom Tov. So what's the difference if you shechted it or if it laid the egg? Either way, it was prepared the day before. So that's a pretty good question. So the Gemara answers. Let me just find a place here. Vim ita, and if im yesh, im ita means im yesh. If ita, if we hold like Rabbah, that you're not allowed to eat an egg that was prepared on Shabbos by the chicken's innards, by the chicken's insides. If we held that way, ligzor mishum hanach temisyalden biyomehen, then there should have also been a gzeira, lest the chicken have prepared the egg the day before. On a Shabbat or a Yom Tov, which was the day before. Meaning the Gzeira should have also applied there. There should have also been a Gzeira not to eat that egg, if Rabbah is right. Because maybe that egg was prepared on Shabbos or on Shabbos as well.
Can't eat eggs.
Amar Le, so the answer. Beitzim gmurot b'ma'ei iman milsa delo shchichahi. Eggs that are complete inside their mothers is not a common occurrence. Milta delo shchicha. Milta is a thing. Delo shachiach. Shachiach means common. It's a thing that's not common. And there's a general principle. Umilta delo shchicha lo gazru barabanan. And there are no gzeiras for things that are uncommon. If something, the rabbis only made gzeiras about common occurrences. But something that was out of the ordinary, they did not make a gzeira about those things. Okay. Next week, please God, is Memorial Day, so we will not meet. The week which follows, we will learn all about this Hachana de Rabba and see sort of where the Rishonim take it. Why don't we? I mean, it kind of makes sense that the world should rest on the seventh day, and we should not benefit from things which were created on the seventh day. So we will have a deeper discussion about that issue.